Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
All right, Flyover family, we are here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and having a great time. You know, we've been talking about this documentary for a while.
A long time.
We're, you know, especially excited to talk about the Trump, I know, because it features our special guest, Laura Trump.
Yay! That's so exciting.
Thank you.
What an honor to have you. We've kind of been circling your planet a while. We've interviewed Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly recently.
Yep.
But we've had, you know, Eric.
And Eric.
Eric probably.
Yeah, we saved the best for last.
I know what we're doing.
It's building.
Yeah, it keeps building.
We've had Eric maybe five times.
Yep. Oh my gosh, what?
I know.
What have I been doing?
And it's just, I'm always shocked walking away how relatable and what just a great guy he is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know what you expect.
He chose a good one.
I agree. Well, yeah. I don't know. You're exactly right. What do you expect? And I'll tell you, I grew up probably like most people in this country, and I never envisioned a day where I would even know someone with the last name Trump, let alone be married to one of them.
Right.
So he must have been pretty good if I chose him with my North Carolina values and all of the above. So, yeah, I agree. I picked a pretty good one.
You definitely did.
So one of the interviews we had with them, you know, we do a little politics and this and that. And we talked shooting and deer and some of this kind of stuff. But I threw out a question to him because Stacey was blown away when we watched this documentary. She paused it about a few minutes into it because she's always been into working out.
Yep.
And she's like, pause it. I'm like, what? She goes,
look at those arms.
Oh,
I'm like, that is amazing.
And so I threw it out to Eric.
You're very nice.
I said, okay, question. Straight up, heads-on competition. Push-up contest. You? Laura Trump, who's going to win? And he was like, a little bit like, oh, I don't know. He goes, I think I'd get her on the push-up.
Uh-huh.
But if we had like a cardio, running, anything like that, she's going to smoke me.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of where he left it.
Well, what do you think?
The only way to settle this is to actually do the push-up competition.
I think
we're pretty clear on what we need to do now.
No doubt about it. The
gauntlet has been dropped. I did the same thing with when we interviewed Don Jr. Because I said, you know, there's a lot of things about, you know, you guys hunting and you know, all this stuff and, you know, Iowa and shooting all this stuff. And I said, if you or Eric were both like parachuted out of a plane, which is like your pocket knife.
So Don Jr. and Eric.
Don Jr. Yeah. and Eric. I said, if you both independently like just dropped out, who would have the best chance like surviving in the wild?
Mm. But didn't even give it a second. I mean, Don Jr. was jumped in there. Me. It would be me. We're like, oh.
He didn't let me finish the question. Eric was a little more gracious.
He's like,
I'm probably a better shot. I mean, Don might be better. He was kind of.
Well, do you know what their Secret Service like call signs were, right?
No.
Eric was marksman. And I was marathon,
which
I'm sure we'll get into.
Yep.
And Don was mountaineer. So it all kind of makes sense whenever you kind of take into account what we were all named. We all had to have M names, and those were our names. And so there you go, mountaineer. I would expect Don, who lived in Colorado for a while,
to be able to handle himself
in some unknown region. Now, I give it to Eric Trump. Here's what I will say. I would take Eric Trump any day as a Mr. Fix-It around the house over Don. Sorry, Don.
Got a stuck drawer
He's
or something.
He's very handy. Yeah. He's very handy. This morning, one of our door handles, I was like, oh, something's wrong with this door handle. Who can we get to deal with it? And he comes over and he shakes it and he goes, honey, you need an Allen wrench. Oh, let me go get it. And I was like, oh.
And you're like, wow.
He's got it all.
He can
change out light sockets and the whole bit. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, he hasn't electrocuted himself yet.
That's
so
good.
We're doing all right.
That is good.
So the question I would have for you is it's kind of a crooked path that got you where you are. Did you sit down with your like high school guidance counselor and said, okay, eventually I'd like to be, I would like to be in politics. Like, well, here's what you need to do. You need to become a fitness instructor and then a pastry chef. And then it's kind of this isn't the path someone would have plotted out to be where you are. It almost seems like maybe you're just kind of doing the next right thing. And God's got some kind of plan in your life.
Well, that's 100% right. And that's honestly the only way I can explain it. It's amazing. You talk about like your college or high school guidance counselor. I remember my first year of college being very distraught because I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. I've got to declare a major and like whatever it is.
At 18 years old.
That's the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I was actually 17 because my birthday's in October when I started college. And I was like, 17, I got to figure it out right now. And here we go. And it was very stressful. And so I remember thinking back then, like, gosh, where would I be? Where will I be when I'm 40? And never would I have predicted this. Yes, the path is very strange that I have taken. But I think, you know, if you follow your gut and you follow your heart and you pray about things and you ask God to really show you what you should be doing, he really does.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's really the only way I can explain being where I am, being part of this family, being part of this movement, sometimes it's hard for me to think about. Sometimes I want to go back to the Laura Unaska before I was Laura Trump and say, like, how would I view all of this as the old version of myself before I was so entrenched in it? But it's so incredible, and I just feel so blessed and so honored, honestly, to be a part of it all.
So what is it like to, because we've interviewed, like David said, Don Jr., Eric, those are the sons of Donald Trump, but what's it like to be the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump?
He's just the greatest. I was just texting with him just a few minutes ago in the car. He always, you know, loved Dad. He's the best. It's funny because I don't think anything really prepares you appropriately to meet your future in-laws, right?
Sure.
When I met my father-in-law for the first time, I just said to Eric, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I said, oh my gosh, 15 years ago this week is when I first met your dad.
Wow.
Because we went to the U.S. Open, tournament, Arthur Ashe Stadium out in Queens, and Eric and I had been dating for a couple of months, wasn't very serious yet, and he was like, oh, want to go watch tennis with me? Well, in my mind, like, yeah, we're going to watch tennis. It's kind of casual. He picked me up, and I was wearing, like, sandals and whatever. The outfit was fine, but I thought we were sitting, like, in the stands. And then we go inside, and I'm like, where are we going? He's like, oh, we've had a box here for years. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to a box.
You're like, whoa.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. I didn't prepare for this. Like, didn't feel like I was appropriately dressed, but okay. And then we go into the box, and he opens the door. There's Donald Trump. There he is. There's my boyfriend's dad, who happens to be, you know, this
reality
star.
Yeah.
This is
business
like 20, mogul. What, 12, 13, 14, something like that?
Oh my gosh, this is, what was 15 years ago now? So 2008, 2009,
okay.
Something like that. 2008. And I remember in that moment, I was just like, I feel like all the blood drained out of me. And I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
And he came up to me, and here I am, this girl who'd been in New York for like 6 months, grew up in North Carolina, really didn't know anything about anything when it came to that world. And he was so relatable and so down to earth.
Wow.
And so nice to me. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to go get an ice cream. Would you like an ice cream? And I was like, oh my gosh, he eats ice cream. I eat ice cream.
Like, I eat ice cream.
This could work out.
Yeah.
From that moment on, you know, he really kind of disarmed the whole situation.
Yeah.
And then it really, whenever he was running for president in 2016, I always talk about this whenever I give speeches places, because it's such an amazing story that kind of shows you who he is. He really tapped me to help him in my home state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in that moment when he asked me to do it, I mean, I didn't know anything about politics. I had no idea how was this going to work out, what was I going to do. But he saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself, and he believed in me before I even believed in me. And it really tells you so much about him in that sense. He's
empowering.
Very empowering.
And trusting, it sounds like.
And he's done that his whole life. If you look at the Trump Organization, the people who are at the top of the organization now, all the executives started out as doormen, as drivers, as security guards. And he said, you know what? You can do something else. I'm going to promote you up. And here they are today. But he's the greatest. And is it a standard father-in-law? Maybe not. But I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Sure.
He's the best.
I love it. How about like a grandfather? Because anytime that we've ever seen him with kids, like even if he's at a rally and he picks up a child, he seems really comfortable.
It seems natural. It's not like a
prop. He seems natural. Yeah.
I want to make a comment on that. We talked to Cash the other day. Stacy's grandfather, he's passed away now. But when I came in this family, we've been together since like seventh grade. So her family was like my family.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are a long time.
Her family was my family.
Been married 30 years.
And her grandpa, Keith, is like, he's the greatest man I've ever met. He's a cattle farmer. He had these like big, thick bones, you know. He was strong.
Yeah. Horse trader.
Horse guy, you know, tough. Like, you know, he had the story of him like punched a cow once, you know, this kind of thing. But in spite of being this like ultimate, you know, manly kind of guy, he's probably 70s, you know, like even in my 20s, I would never thought of messing with him. He's just kind of this tough guy. But he had the kind of strength that when you were closer to him, you're safer.
Yeah.
You know, and power is a unique thing. Sometimes people are powerful and they create fear in others. You know, you might be, you know, just an intimidating opposing figure, or maybe their financial position, or people use celebrity, you know, in a way that harms others. Or it always comes across to me that President Trump is the kind of guy that his power actually makes you feel safer, because you see children respond to him, their guard comes down, and I'm like, kids know.
They do.
They
can feel it.
No, you're mm-hmm. exactly right. Kids know, I think they have just an innate sense about good people, yeah. about safe, mm-hmm. protected people. And they, I mean, are you kidding me? My kids get so excited when they know they're going to see Grandpa. Now, part of it is probably that he's always giving them candy. Like, enough.
Spoiled.
Yeah, like, Grandpa, what kind of candy you got today? I'm like, oh. But no, he really is very natural with yeah. kids. And, you know, all the grandkids, the favorite thing, I think, for him is when they're all around, he tries yeah. to see how many of them he can get on a golf cart and drive them all around. And there's one on his lap and some hanging off the side. It's amazing. But he's, you know, he is like any grandparent. I think he loves to hear about his grandkids. Mm-hmm. The first thing he asks whenever he calls me, you know, how are Luke and Carolina? What are they doing these days? I send him pictures and videos. Sometimes my kids will just ask, can we send something to Grandpa? And they'll record some silly video. And he loves to get them.
That is awesome.
We ran a clip yesterday. One of our shows is from his speech in South Carolina the other night. And we just played like a 30 seconds. And when he talks about America, mm-hmm. like, it's not even talking about where it is. You could see he has such an awareness of where it started, but what it could be, the promise yeah. of this country, the greatness that still hasn't even been tapped into. Yep. Like, you see that in, like, emotion of the love for the country. There's yep. pictures of him hugging the flag at the CPAC. Like, these things, that's got to be something that's very, like, contagious in the team around him, mm-hmm. of why you're doing all this, why you're taking all the hits. I mean, yeah. There's no faking that. He loves mm-hmm. this country.
Well, why else would you put yourself right. through all of it? Yep. Why else would you? And he knew. I mean, that's the amazing thing to me. I think back to the couple of days before he came down the escalator. We all met as a family. We all had dinner. It was for his birthday, actually. His birthday is Flag Day. How appropriate.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing. But we all met for his birthday as the whole family. And he sat us all down and he said, look, I really want to do this, but you guys have to understand, if I do this and if we do this and we do it the way it needs to be done, it's not going to be easy.
Right.
They are going to come after us. We're going to see who our true friends are. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, he knew. He knew what was going to happen, and he was willing in that moment to give it all up. Think about the life that he created for himself.
Can't imagine.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Right? He became a business mogul, a reality TV star. I used to work for Inside Edition. I worked for them for 5 years. I was a producer. I was a story coordinator. And I remember hearing in our newsroom, if they needed someone to comment on something, Donald Trump was the guy. I'd hear my, you know, executive producer screaming across, somebody call Donald Trump, get him, see if we can get a Trump tower and go, you know. And so like that, he was the guy. Everyone loved him. And he knew that if he did this and he did what was needed for this country, he was going to have to give up so much. Man. And he was still willing to do it. You see how they're attacking him now. Yeah. You see the relentless way that they are pursuing one man. Mm-hmm. They are real. Right. I mean, they legitimately want to lock him up and throw away the key and be done with him. Mm-hmm. But I think he knows now, and I know he knew what was to come in terms of what he needed to do. I don't know that even he assumed it would get this bad. Mm-hmm. But now that he's in it, I think he really does understand what is at stake, and he does understand. I think that he's the only person who can really rectify the damage that they're doing to this country right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing. And it is contagious. When you're around someone who...
It is for us watching.
When we watch. We cheer up. Just hearing him talk. Yeah, and just hearing him talk about how much he loves this country, it's like, oh my gosh.
I love this
guy. It gives you more pride in your own country, you know, when you hear it.
And we need more of that.
Yeah.
It's so sad to me to think that we have a generation of Americans who are not being taught to love this country, who are instead being taught to hate this country, being taught that this is an inherently bad country and a racist country and this, that, and the other. It's so sad because they don't understand how special and unique we really are.
Right.
And my father-in-law gets it, and I think that's what people feel when they see him talk and when he does get emotional about it, and you understand he's trying to bring people back in. He's trying to save this country. Because once it's gone, like, that's it.
Yeah.
I think he understands that.
Yeah.
You know, and let's go back to the 2016, because that was a lot of weight on your shoulders, because that was a purple area.
Oh,
Hillary thought she had it.
That was her firewall, she said, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you know, our slogan here is wake up, speak up, and show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's almost like a mandate from the Lord that we have got to speak up and show up. We can no longer take pride in being the silent majority. You know, when you were given that, you said you didn't feel qualified, but you're like, you raised your hand, you said, okay, I'll do it. When asked, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, what would be an encouragement? encouragement to other Americans that are sitting there thinking, man, I don't feel qualified. I don't know. You know, something may come up. Maybe it's something political in their own area, or maybe it's a school board or something. But what would be your recommendation? Well, you've walked through it.
I've done it. And I mean, I remember somebody telling me a long time ago, they were like, fake it till you make it. Like, even if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you go out there and you watch people who do know what they're doing and you learn from them. And so that's what I did. I mean, I sat down with my husband and I said, okay, I'm going to need to take a leave of absence from Inside Edition, which I did. And how do you do this? How do you win a state? What do we need? We need women. Okay, let's get women together. Let's get a bus together. And I just figured it out. So for anybody out there, I mean, everything is achievable, and especially in this country.
Yep.
There really is no limit to what you can do. And most people, I think, who achieve great things feel terrified in the moments before they take that step, that leap into doing whatever it is that they might do. Yeah. And if you are not challenging yourself, then maybe you're not doing something right. You never want to stay too comfortable all the time. At least for me,
yeah,
I don't.
That's good. That's a word to us. Just this week, had some things.
And I do. I feel that way for, you know, my like workouts and stuff. But I also feel like I try to apply that to my life. There are things that are scary, but you know what? What's the worst that could happen? You got to give it a shot. Give it
a try. That's great advice.
Yeah.
The most impressive thing I've noticed about you, and we've seen you at quite a few of the events, the Reawaken America tours. We're just in Vegas recently and saw you speak there. And then we were doing interviews during the times. So we caught parts. We went back and watched it. I stopped it and I told Stacey, I said, you know, you won your state in 16 and you won the White House in 16. You worked harder, took more hits, put in more effort in 20. And the results didn't reflect what they did in 16. We'll get into more of that.
Even
maybe
though
in a
we know that they did.
But my point with that is, when I watched you speak, there was no victimness. There was no resentfulness. There was like I told when I paused, I said, she's walking with a clean heart. Mm. Like, you know what you did and the results and who else did what they did. But talk about that for a moment, because you meet people sometimes that are like, oh, they're mad about something happened in high school. Or they're walking in a fence, or like, you're moving forward talking about future wins.
Yeah.
And how did you walk through that? Because we hurt. It felt like for us, even just like November 4th, 5th, 6th, it felt like a pet you'd had for 15 years died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But every day.
Yes.
It felt like that. How have you walked through that and get it where you still
stay clean?
Yeah.
You know,
there's just something about you there that you're not living in that. In that moment, you're moving forward and you're like, you've forgiven or something. There's something in you that's different.
Well, look, we've got to have our eye on the prize. And I think for me, I probably approach a lot of things as an athlete. And that's what I did for so long. I've played pretty much every sport out there, and you win some games and you lose some games. And all I know is that every game I went into, I said, I'm going to put every ounce of everything I have into winning this game. And then if we lose the game, I will know when I walk off that field, that court, whatever it is, that I couldn't have done one more thing to have won. And the other team, you know, sometimes they win fairly, sometimes they don't. Not that we're making any connections to anything.
Yeah.
But then you have to move on and you have to start to focus on your next game, your next match, whatever it is. And so for me, I think that's where I am in this whole thing. It's like, look, we have to get our eye focused, and I mean acutely focused, on 2024, because I know we say it all the time. We say it every 4 years. This is an important election, most important election, all those things. But people feel that something is different right now. And so for me, I think if we take time messing around and fill our head with all of the regrets and we're upset about this and I'm mad that things didn't work out the way that we know they should have, then that's a distraction. And so for me, I've got to aim forward and I face forward and I figure out what the next goal is we need to achieve. And that's what I'm doing.
I love it. You touched on 2024. So what are you guys doing different for 2024? And what can we as citizens of the United States do different for the election in 2024?
Well, I think we're in a different time, obviously. 2020 was, what a year. You know, we had COVID, we had the mail-in voting, we had all the crazy going on. So it was very different. We know that there were laws changed in states illegally for voting. And so there's been a lot of movement. by people. Some of them are former, you know, campaign folks from, mm-hmm. from 2020 and 2016. They've done a lot of work to try and rectify all of those laws that were changed, make sure things are back right. We have a lot of people in position now ready, and we need more. That's what I would say to people out there. If you want to help and you want to volunteer, go to DonaldJTrump.com. You can click up at the top, volunteer. We need poll watchers. We need eyes on the ground. They will not be able to tell us this time, oh, COVID measures, we can't let this many people in. Absolutely not. And by the way, and you know that they're getting nervous because they're bringing all the COVID crazy stuff back.
The 6 foot things in Walgreens again.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Nashville has already put them in all the Walgreens.
Yeah. Okay. But I would say, you know, for us, it's amazing to have gone through this twice already, and now we're on our third time. And I, in 2017, kind of remained with the campaign when my father-in-law was inaugurated, and very unique for a president to do, to keep a campaign up and running. But we did that, very intimately involved with the day-to-day of the campaign. Now, I'm not officially in any capacity with the campaign, but obviously we all are kind of as a family.
Sure,
That's what we all do anyway. So I think that the team around my father-in-law, I would say this time, right now is very small, and I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes too many cooks in the kitchen, not a great thing.
Yeah.
You need one driver. Mm-hmm. That driver is Donald Trump. He's making the decisions. He's executing on those decisions. And so I think, look, we learned a lot. We have a lot of boots on the ground. We have a lot of eyes on the ground. We have people out there doing incredible things like ballot harvesting everywhere in this country that it is legal.
That's an important thing. I saw a stat the other day.
Yeah.
All 50 states, Donald Trump, President Trump won in-person voting. All
50
in 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody's like, you want all of them anyway. I mean, I'm saying, like, you know, undisputed number. Also, Joe Biden won every single state, all 50, on not present mail-in voting.
One.
I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think we also, as a party, have to kind of change the messaging, because I understand in our, you know, perfect world, we have one day. It's voting day.
Yep.
There's no mail-in voting. There's no early voting. There's none of that. But that's not the reality. And the reality is we've sort of fallen behind the ball, I think, in a lot of ways, telling people wait to go vote. Absolutely not. Go vote. Go vote early and then bank that vote and make sure you get out and get other people out to the polls and make sure you're getting as many people to go vote as possible. The goal, obviously, is that it doesn't matter how many extra votes they have in 2024, and I use extra, I think everyone knows what I mean, that there will be no doubt that Donald Trump wins.
Okay. Last question as we wrap up. Encourage Flavor family, you need to check out YouTube and Rumble, I believe, but The Right View.
Yes.
Go to therightview.com. It is a great show.
We love Tom McDonald, by the way.
And I want to ask you about that, because there's a side to you people may not know, that you're sort of a closet wannabe rapper. Tom McDonald said
he's going to bring you up.
This is recorded. It's documented. So you can't. There's no getting out of it. Tom McDonald is coming to Florida. He's going to do a concert.
I'll be ready. And I'm ready.
He's going to pass you
the
mic.
Yes.
And you're going to drop some bars.
Well, look, all I know is that I grew up in, you know, I was in high school in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. There was some music I was like really jamming out to in my car, and I felt like I was pretty good at getting down. And so I still feel like I got it.
I love it. We can't wait to hear it.
And I'll tell you a little known fact is that people who came to my wedding will understand that this is something I've been preparing for my whole life, because after party to my wedding, I didn't need a karaoke screen, I didn't need anything. I just grabbed a mic. And that's what we did for about 3 hours.
So one song, if we were going to do karaoke right here, right now, what's one song you would do that you know you could nail that's got a rap chorus in it that you could go
California
with?
Love. Tupac.
That's the one.
Let's go.
Boom.
All right. So when you rap with Tom, are you going to do a Tom song?
Oh, I'll do whatever he wants.
Like Fake Woke, what are you going to do?
Brainwash, Fake Woke. Yep. Yeah, you tell me. I'll be ready. Yeah.
I love it. Again, go to therightview.com.
Yes.
Make sure you check out Laura's show. It is excellent. And Laura, thank you so much for joining
us.
Thanks for everything you all are doing to help to save our country.
Honestly, I know we have a large intercessory team that's praying for us every day, and everybody that we know is praying for your family specifically. For you, Eric, everybody. It's so important that you guys are protected to be able to do what you're doing.
Yes, and we feel it. I just want to say thank you. Honestly,
it never ceases to amaze me when people will come up to us, and it happened to me in the airport several times today, people coming up saying that they're praying for our family. It means so much.
Praise
so
the
thank
Lord.
You. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
really
you, guys.
It.
Great to be with you.
Our founding fathers evolved the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
At this time, the amount of U.S. Treasuries outstanding is more than $30 trillion. According to this data that was published by the Dallas Federal Reserve, the value of U.S. Treasuries has been increasing annually, so the government issues more and more debt to finance its operations. And then you can see that big surge that occurred in 2020, that is the sharpest historical increase of issued debt. Now, what foreign countries hold the most U.S. debt? This is very important. The top three foreign holders of U.S. treasuries are, these numbers are in billions, by the way, as of the end of June, the second quarter of this year. Japan holds the most debt. The second place takes China. And the third place is the United Kingdom. Recently, many countries, not just the top three that we mentioned, but many more countries have been selling billions of dollars worth of U.S. treasuries. This is not a coincidence, of course. Saudi Arabia is the latest country to offload a massive amount of their U.S. treasury holdings. Their holdings are down a little over 40% since 2020. According to Reuters, the two biggest buyers, Japan's and China's share of U.S. bond holdings, drop to record lows. Reuters says the Japanese and Chinese central banks' combined footprint in the world's largest, deepest, and most liquid government bond market is now at its lowest on record, at least since comparable data began being collected in the late 1990s. Here you can see it for yourself. This is the decline of the holdings for both countries combined. This is how Japan's holdings of U.S. debt look, a sharp decline, and now China's holdings. It's the same story. This is truly concerning because if you factor in the growing U.S. government deficit, $32 plus trillion in national debt, truly mounting geopolitical tensions all over the world. It's not just Ukraine anymore. Look at what's going on in Africa. Look at the escalation in Syria at this time and other parts of the world. There are investors who are getting worried that perhaps there may be a time, of course it won't happen overnight, but there may be a time when the U.S. won't be able to find enough buyers for all the debt that it has grown accustomed to selling and for all the debt that it still wants to issue and sell. There may be a time in the future when the United States would need to increase interest rates just so that its debt becomes appealing to foreign investors.
Peter, how about it? I don't see anything good of the BRICS nations coming together and strategizing, as they say, to pretty much take over the world and screw over the West, which is us. Yeah. I'm a little concerned. Well, shouldn't we be worried?
Oh, we should be. And first of all, they supply us with a lot of goods, but they also have loaned us a lot of money. And the interest that we have to pay on that debt is soaring.
И хочу заверить всех коллег, что мы будем продолжать то дело, которое мы сегодня с вами начали по расширению влияния БРИКС в мире.
A decline in the value of the dollar is necessary in order to compensate for the fact that the U.S. economy will remain rather weak, will be a drag on the global economy. China will emerge as the motor replacing the U.S. consumer. And of course, it's a smaller motor because the Chinese economy is much smaller. So the world economy will have less of a motor. So it will move forward slower than it has in the last 25 years. But China will be the engine driving it forward, and the U.S. will be actually a drag that's being pulled along through a gradual decline in the value of the dollar. So there would be a slow decline in the value of the dollar, a managed decline. And that would be the adjustment that it needs to be accomplished.
We are provoking. Not only have we made the worst geopolitical mistake, which is to push the Russians into an embrace of China, which is the worst geopolitical outcome that we can imagine, we've essentially fueled the creation of BRICS, where 40 nations are now threatening to get off of the dollar as the world reserve currency. If that continues, then you know what that will make the Great Depression look like a cakewalk for us.
I think there's a bigger story to tell about the BRICS. It's almost 3/4 of the world's population have signed on. So there was only Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. But the big one is Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now, the reason that's important is they hate America. And if you can get that picture, plus you have the Belt and Road Project, you have most of the world that's not, I'm going to hope you don't get censored with me saying this, but the world that they're going into is a non-Christian world. I'm not being religious and all this. I'm not being political. I'm saying it's Muslim, Hindu, Islam, and all this. So this is a very big move, is because the world, who is not white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, Christian, like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England, they're joining up against the Western currency called the dollar. And so the BRICS is not if, it's only when. Jim Rickards says it best. He says, it's not if, it's when they switch to gold. That's what they're saying. I agree with him.
The BRICS group is set to introduce a new currency backed by gold, in contrast to the credit-backed U.S. dollar, with countries lining up to join the growing initiative.
The BRICS countries are planning to introduce a new trading currency, which will be backed by gold. More and more countries recently expressed desire to join BRICS.
The one final note I will make is that if you think about the benefits of digital money, there are huge potential gains. It's not just about digital forms of physical currency. You can have programmability, units of central bank currency with expiry dates. You could have, as I argue in my book, a potentially better, and some people might see it, or a darker world where the government decides that units of central bank money can be used to purchase some things, but not other things that it deems less desirable, like, say, ammunition or drugs or pornography or something of the sort. And that is very powerful in terms of the use of a CBDC, and I think also extremely dangerous for central banks. Because ultimately, if you have different units of central bank money with different characteristics, or if you use central bank money as a conduit for economic policies in a very targeted way, or more broadly for social policies, that could really affect the integrity of central bank money and the integrity and independence of central banks. So there are wonderful notions of things that can be done with digital money, but again, I fear that technology could take us to a better place, but equally has the potential to take us to a pretty dark place.
A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability.
The nature of money is going to change quite dramatically. The old systems of trust and of ownership will have to adapt radically.
This is Richard Werner, the top academic scholar in the world on central banking. He wrote the book and did the documentary, The Princes of the Yen, about the Japanese central bank. Here he is in Malmo, Sweden, in May.
the nature of this CBDC. What is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. Right. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it, and it was around this large, and would be implanted under your skin.
CBDC. If that happens, we're done.
They started their CBDC. Maybe we should start having the conversation of, gosh, this looks like the mark of the beast.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, even in democratic countries, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
Wallet Moore says the $300 chip is the size of a grain of rice. You'd most likely have it implanted in your hand, and once it's activated, you can use it at a checkout by just swiping your hand over the card reader.
I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067, signed by Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022, and it went into effect 13 December 2022.
CBDC. If that happens, we're done.
The old systems of trust and of ownership will have to adapt radically.
China's taken over, and China, you know, I heard a couple of people say, well, the dollar will never lose the dollar standard. Are they kidding?
Now the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced plans to develop a new currency.
My name is General Mike Flynn, and I want everyone to know that I stand fully behind Beverly Hills Precious Metals and its owner, Andrew Sorcini.
Since my name is Cash, I am constantly worried about inflation. But to secure your cash going forward, buy into gold and silver today. And you know who shares that ethos? Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Go to bh-pm.com today so you can go buy gold and silver and secure your family's future. bh-pm.com. Call Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Get your consultation. Buy into gold and silver just like I'm doing today and help secure your family's future. Because it's all about educating yourself. And that's the value, whether you go with Beverly Hills Precious Metals or not. It's a free consultation that gives your family options for financial security going into the future. So that's why you should call Beverly Hills Precious Metals.com for a free consultation today.
Psst. Ladies and gentlemen, this just in. We'll keep this a little secret between you and me and them and everybody. Whoa. The people that are actually at the tip of the spear, working directly with President Trump on a day-to-day basis to save this nation, they're all joining us on the Reawaken America tour. We have President Donald J. Trump's chief of staff, Kash Patel. We've got Peter Navarro's joined us on the tour. We have General Michael Flynn. We have Eric Trump. The people actually working at the tip of the spear with President Donald J. Trump to save America are joining us on the Reawaken America tour. Whoa. If word of this gets out, if the truth about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, monetary fraud, and mainstream media gets out, it may just save the nation. And now the Reawaken America tour is going back to Trump Doral, Miami, Florida on October 13th and 14th. And then we're taking the Reawaken America tour into California and into Tulare, California.
What?
Yes. Tulare, California is a real place. And we're going to be there on December 15th and 16th. Come and see Dr. Judy Mikovits, Julie Green, Amanda Grace, Dr. Simone Gold, the powerlifter and wife of Eric Trump, Laura Trump, Jean Ho, Roger Stone, the woman who woke up the world with the Plandemic series, Dr. Judy Mikovits, the hilarious Jim Brewer, Dr. Peter McCullough, Mike Won't Let America Go to Hell Lindell, Pastor Leon Benjamin, Pastor Mark Burns, Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Dave Scarlett, Pastor Brian Gibson, Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller, Pastor Craig Hagin. Because, although even America may be facing an imminent disaster, on the Reawaken America Tour, we travel with pastors. Did I mention on the Reawaken America Tour, we've had Liz Crokin, Jimmy Levy, we've had Mickey Willis. We've even had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. show up at the Reawaken America Tour. We've had Charlie Kirk, Roseanne, Donna Clement Petruska, Mel Kay, Owen Troyer, Alex Jones, Mike Adams, Seth Holhouse, Donald J. Trump Jr. If you want to join the Reawaken America Tour in beautiful Miami, Florida at the Trump Doral Golf Course and Resort, get those tickets today at time2freeamerica.com Or if you want to join us in beautiful Tulare, California, get those tickets today at timetofreeamerica.com. We have scholarship pricing available to make this event affordable for everybody. What does that mean? That means you can name your price. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can name your price. We want every single American and married Americans going to be able to afford a ticket to the Reawaken America Tour. The Reawaken America Tour. Get those tickets today at timetofreeamerica.com. Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, Henry Kissinger, and the World Economic Forum, they have their get-togethers at Davos. But we have the Reawaken America Tour so you can learn the truth about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, and to get back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, 70-plus speakers are featured during this two-day epic event. To make this event affordable for everybody, you can name your price.
So I'd like to name my price Skylar. Or Hamilton, or
this is probably not the right conference for you. Each and every Reawaken America Tour event has been 100% sold out, and these events will be sold out as well. Request those tickets today at timetofreeamerica.com. Or for faster service, you can text them the number 918-851-0102. Again, to be bilingually sensitive, you can text in the number 918-851-0102. That's 918-851-0102. So many people always ask, you know, what can I do to help fight back to save this nation? Jordan, you meet people at the Reawaken America Tour. Are people looking for ways to get involved?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And so one thing I would encourage everybody to do, if you're out there today and you're saying, I want to get involved, I want to support the Reawaken America Tour, what can I do? One thing you can do is if you will go to mypillow.com and buy anything at all. I mean, you can buy whatever you want to buy. You don't have to buy my recommendations. And frankly, you know, I don't buy a lot of domestic products. I mean, my wife, you know, buys sheets and towels and all these sorts of things. I don't do that. I think the last time I bought a towel was the last time I did a MyPillow commercial. But I would say, if you want to support the Reawaken America Tour, you just go up here to mypillow.com and use promo code Clay. So that's promo code Clay, C-L-A-Y, and buy anything using promo code Clay. And that does two things. One, it supports Mike Lindell and the great work he's doing to expose election fraud. And two, it helps the Reawaken America Tour. Because right now, if you go to timetofreeamerica.com, you can see I'm still involved in this ongoing litigation where the former head of security and strategy for Dominion, Eric Coomer, he actually is coming after me personally and the tour for defamation. The idea is that he believes that the Reawaken America Tour has hurt his reputation. Now, this is the same Eric Coomer who ran a moving vehicle into a parked building during the middle of the day while intoxicated.
Wow.
One of the bed and breakfasts from Street Inn or something like that and took off on foot. I'm going to have 8 go over there and secure the vehicle.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Are you Eric?
Yeah.
So, were you driving your truck?
No, I've been here putting the order away.
Okay. Who was driving your truck?
I don't know.
Okay, so where is your truck?
It's 2 blocks down on the right.
Okay, and you just parked it there?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had anything to drink since you got here?
Yeah. Had a couple shots with the cook.
Okay. Do you mind if we step out back and talk for a
second?
Yeah. So, walk me through your route to get from where you parked there.
Came from my house, came down. I live up on the Mesa.
Okay.
So I came down. Side route, came down Sackett, parked over there.
Okay, so what happened in between there?
Okay, I'm going to come around to the front.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So you didn't hit a building?
No.
Okay. Unfortunately, I have your truck with damage on it.
Okay.
Matching damage to a building down there.
Okay.
And witnesses saying the guy in blue plaid got out of the truck and came back here.
Okay.
So you're saying that wasn't you?
No.
Okay. You understand why that's hard to believe?
Understood.
But you were the only person driving your vehicle?
As far as I know.
and you parked it two blocks up on the street there. Okay.
So at this point,
4x4 pickup truck,
we're at Fort Hill Road. This officer can take you to jail. You're going to charge you with felon misinformation along with all the traffic stuff.
Okay.
Or you can cut the nonsense. He cuts your ticket for the crash. And we move on with life. It seems goofy to me to jam yourself up with more charges when you obviously responsible for this thing is property damage. But it doesn't make any sense.
Understood.
So.
Like you said, we're at a fork in the road. The choice is yours.
Okay. You can talk to my attorney.
Okay. Go ahead and turn around. Back for me.
Yep.
He was being filmed on body cam and he lied to police about what happened. If you're saying, well, what can I do to support right now? One thing you could do, and I mean this, folks, if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you can click on the button here that says donate to support Clay Clark, Clay Clark's fight against Eric Coomer's lawsuit, that would be great because of the legal fees, the ongoing legal fees for this lawsuit are almost $3,000 a day. So if you could donate anything, I mean, we just had somebody donate 11 hours ago, $20, someone donated $100, any amount at all would be absolutely helpful. All that money goes to just fight against that lawsuit with Eric Coomer, who's coming after myself, Mike Lindell, and other Patriots. And then the second thing you could do is if you go to mypillow.com and you want to buy anything at all, you know, Jordan, it's never too early to buy your Christmas presents, right?
No, it's never too early.
What's the earliest you bought your Christmas presents? Like, what's the earliest in advance that you purchased your Christmas presents?
January.
Of the year. So January after December, mm-hmm. You bought it almost a full year in advance?
Yep.
Yeah, so I encourage everybody, just go to mypillow.com, use promo code Clay, and buy anything. And that is an absolutely great way to support the tour. I'm very appreciative for everybody who's showing up at the Reawaken America Tour. But again, for anybody who says, Clay, how can I help the tour? How can I help you guys? Again, go to mypillow.com, use promo code Clay, and buy anything at all that helps support Mike Lindell and the tour. Also, if you could donate anything at all to support in our ongoing litigation versus Eric Coomer, the former head of security and strategy for Dominion, who believes that the Reawaken America Tour is defaming him. Apparently, a lot of people don't want you to know about election fraud.